So we're celebrating today the feast of the dedication of St. John Lateran Basilica. We're celebrating a building today, which is one of the weird things about being Catholic, the things that we celebrate, the things that we have Mass for. The church that we're honoring today, or we're celebrating the day that it was dedicated, the feast of this dedication of this church, was probably the first public church that the church was allowed to have in the year 324 AD. So I'm sure some of you have studied some church history. It was in 313 when Constantine allowed Christianity to be publicly practiced. Before that, it was a secret religion. So in 324, he had given this building to the Catholics so that they could worship their God. So it's the first church, the first basilica that the church had. And it's called the Mother of the Church of the City and of the World. It's the bishops of Rome's church. So the Pope's church is St. John Lateran. Not St. Peter's that maybe we think is the most famous church in Rome, but St. John Lateran is the church where the Pope is the bishop. That's his chair, his cathedra, his seat of authority is there. And that's why we honor this church today. Because the Pope is the universal bishop for the entire church. And so we come together today in honor and respect of his office, that the Pope is the bishop of the entire world. And so I was out of college, you know, a little bit older before I realized that St. John Lateran wasn't a person. Like we have, you know, St. John Fisher or St. Thomas More or St. Francis of Assisi. St. John Lateran is not a person's name. Lateran was the name of the family who gave the building to the church. St. John is the saint that the church is dedicated to, St. John the Baptist and St. John the Evangelizer. And so this is a very important church, but why? Why does this church place so much emphasis on churches? Because we are a sacramental people. I'm sure you're learning both in your theology and in your biology, your anatomy classes, about the nature of the human person, body and soul. That the physical things of the world, the material things of the world matter. And especially in this day and age, this is an important thing for us to know without any doubt, that the physicality, the material makeup of something matters, and it's real. Your body matters. Your body is what God created. You're not just an angel that kind of has this casing that will go away when you die. Your body is part of who you are. And God willing, we all go to heaven. And at second coming, our bodies will be once again reunited with our soul. So the physical things of the world matter, which is why we can have sacraments, which is why we can use these things of the world to make God present in our lives. That God really does come. He really does want to make himself known to you. He wants to be in a relationship with you. So he uses the things of your life to make himself present to you. So we have sacraments where we use water and oil or bread and wine. These common things of the world that God uses to make himself present to you. Because just like anyone who has a crush on someone, you fall in love with someone. You want them to know about you. You want to share life with them. You want to share part of your life with them. God, in the same way, wants to share his life with you. So he uses the physical things of your world so that you can come to know him. And even the buildings can reveal to us God's love for us. It's kind of hard to imagine it in this building, but if we can imagine one of those beautiful basilicas, maybe Immaculate Conception downtown or our cathedral in St. Augustine, or if you've ever been to Europe, the amazing churches and cathedrals there, how they speak to us about God's love. The physical things of the world matter. And this is where we get to Ezekiel from the first reading. He's talking about the temple. And again, maybe some of you have studied church history. When Ezekiel was writing, the chosen people were in exile. They had given over to idolatry and infidelity, so they lost their land. They lost everything. They were enslaved. And the temple had been everything for them. It's where they went to encounter God. Without the temple, there was no presence of God in their life. And they lost it. And so they were in slavery. So Ezekiel gets this vision of the new temple. So it's a promise that in the future, once again, they will be restored and the presence of God will once again be in their life. So that's what Ezekiel is talking about. And he has that beautiful prophecy about water from the side of the temple making the salt water fresh. And that should make us think about the cross, the water from the side of Christ. All these things that we hear, all these prophecies that we encounter, they're always pointing to Christ and the cross. And so we get to the gospel, where Jesus goes to the temple. And sometimes we hear this passage about the cleansing of the temple, and we use it as an excuse for us to be angry sometimes, and to lose our cool, and to do crazy things, violent things. And yeah, that's part of it. But again, what was the temple? It was the place where you went to encounter God. And what was happening there? They made it a marketplace. They made it where it was impossible to get to the presence of God. You know, the Gentiles had a certain part of the temple area where they weren't the chosen people, but they were allowed to come kind of close. It was in that area where the Pharisees had set up this marketplace. So the very place where God had designed for the people to come encounter him, the leaders were abusing it. That's why Jesus got mad. Because they were preventing the Gentiles from worshiping God. And so he was cleansing the temple. And we know the story. Basically, he's saying, I will be the new temple. I will be the place where you encounter God. And that's really what we're celebrating today. Is that the buildings that we honor, the buildings that we gather in, are a point to Jesus Christ, who died for you and put water and blood out of his side so that you could have the sacraments, so that you can come to know him, enter into a relationship with him, and then bring his message to everyone else. For those who are outside of the promise, those who don't know God, through your lives will be able to be brought closer to Christ, just like that area for the Gentiles was being abused. Christ gives you the sacraments so that your body, your life, everything about you can be a witness to the world about where you can go to find Christ. And so how do we apply these readings to ourselves today? Have you made your body, your life, a marketplace? Have you sold your body to the things of the world that now you're giving a false message about what it means to honor and worship God? This is why Christ was cleansing the temple. So how easy it is for us to lose sight of the fact that Christ has come so near to us. So near to us. So for those of you who are Catholic and are prepared and you will receive the Eucharist today, Christ is that close to you, on your tongue, in your stomach. Christ is so near to you, empowering you, cleansing you, calling you closer to himself, establishing that relationship with you for which you were created for. Because this is where probably for you, the second reading today, you should memorize that. I don't necessarily promote tattoos, but if you're going to have a tattoo, that might be one verse. Don't you know that you are a temple? Do you know that? You are a temple of God. The same temple that the Jewish people had because it was the only place to go and encounter God, that is who you are now. So if I want to encounter God, not only can I go to the Eucharist, but I can go to you. Short of the Blessed Sacrament, the human person is the most divine thing that you will ever encounter in this world. Do you believe that? Do you know that about yourself? That when you were baptized, the Holy Spirit came to live within you and you became a temple, a dwelling place of the living God. And you were given the command, the invitation, the charge to go out into the world and to be Christ to every person that you meet. Do you know that? Do you believe that? Do you live in such a way that you are expressing the presence of the living God to everyone around you? If yes, praise God. Continue to do so. If not, repent. Allow Jesus, like he did in the gospel, to come into your heart and cleanse. Cleanse you from all the mistakes and bad choices you've made. But more importantly, ask him to cleanse you from the lies that you've been living. The lie that you've been living and believing about who you are and who you need to be in order to be somebody. This is what tears our hearts apart. And this is what causes us to distance ourselves from God, is that we believe the lies of the world that I'm not a temple. We believe the lies of the world that I have to do certain things, believe certain things, say certain things in order to be somebody. And sadly, the body of Christ sometimes encourages that behavior amongst ourselves. Let's repent of that. Let us praise God for the nearness that he has drawn so close to us, that he desires to be in a relationship with you. He desires to be known by you, that he comes to you and reveals himself to you. Do you believe this truth? Because yes, I know you guys had this day for vocations yesterday, and I'm the vocations director, so I should be up here promoting vocations, encouraging you boys to consider the priesthood and you young ladies to consider the religious life. And of course, I am. Because in a group this size, some of you boys, some of you men are being called to the priesthood. Some of you women are being called to the religious life. There's no doubt. Take your math class, your stats, your ratios, and all those things. There's no way we have this many people and there's no priests sitting here in front of me. It's statistically impossible. But if you don't know that you're loved by God, if you don't know that you're a temple, if you don't know that you don't have to believe the lies, you will never be able to say yes to God's invitation for your life. And so that's why this feast day today is so important. It gives us permission. It gives us confidence to return to the truth. That we can reject the lies of the world and the lies of my own heart sometimes. That I'm not what the evil one tells me I am. I'm not what the world tells me I have to be. I'm a beloved son and a beloved daughter of the Father. And he died to give me life. And he lives to live within me. And through the sacraments, through the Eucharist, through the things of the world, he's yelling to you, I love you. I need you. You are mine. Do you believe this?